broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico. Phil Hendry.
We will not tolerate anyone taking vigilante action.
Yeah, my feelings about this are constantly evolving. I struggle.
Yes, well. That most men like to do a lot of things.
You know, you hear just a constant drumbeat of things going wrong, and it's just taking them a while to get
that
into.
That is a threat.
Famous Phil Hendry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about, where truth is our bitch, and where we go places other talk shows wish they could go, but they can't. They can't. An 11-year-old boy allegedly dies after playing the pass-out game. Herb Sewell is going to join us to talk about this game. And we'll discuss just exactly what should be done. Our number, 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL, and we're online at philhendryshow.com. You can look at live streaming video of the show, listen to live streaming audio of the show. It's worth it, believe me. And you can see me in my happy times, in my stressed out times, in this festive time of year. Check it out, philhendryshow.com, as well as our archives, thousands of hours, and we're adding to them, obviously, each and every day. And we also have up on the site now 6 new Classic Phil podcasts that will be eventually 20 brand new Classic Phil podcasts before Christmas Day. So this is kind of a little gift to those of you who are not yet subscribers, and you can download those for free. 877-876-PHIL. And on the line with us from the Los Angeles area that we really are not at liberty to say where he is. Right now, he is still on probation. Whether we call it probation or parole, I don't know the difference between the two things, is Herb Sewell. And the reason we're talking about this, and Herb, let me just explain, is the fact that you were convicted and incarcerated for crimes against children as well as women, and you spent 8 years at the Atascadero Forensic Hospital in Atascadero, California, and you have since been released, and you were at a halfway house and technically on parole. Is that right?
That is correct, yes.
And what are you doing for a living now?
I work as a research assistant. I do primarily my work is from... it's from my residence, so I'm telecommuting, if you want to put it that way. But primarily because of the fact that I'm not allowed certain places, which I certainly understand. And I do want to, if I'm right, Phil, make clear to your audience this evening that I'm very well aware of the crimes that I committed. I'm very well aware of the damage that I did. So I try, whenever I'm on your program or other radio programs, television programs, I do try to give the audience the benefit of my wisdom, insofar as I can.
All right, well, that's well said. And we do like to talk with you from time to time about these different situations. Now, this was something I didn't quite talk to Bud Dickman and Robert Leonard. They thought that you would be good for a stand-in guest on this pass-out, guess choking game?
That is correct, yes.
Do you know about this?
I know about it, yes. I know that it's something that pre-adolescent or adolescent young men primarily engage in.
And how do you know about this?
Well, I know about it because of my former life. I did witness it. I engaged in it. I can tell you that I'm not trying to back away from any crime that I committed, but the things that I witnessed, no one was harmed in that sense. So I think that goes, I think that speaks to my character, that while, yes, I did commit crimes against children, I did not harm them with the choking game. They harmed themselves, and I probably harmed myself because I joined in, but neither they nor I harmed each other. The choking game is something that alters the consciousness briefly of the individual by restricting or constricting oxygen to the brain. So you can say that in many ways you can call this a cheap high if you want. It does not involve the purchasing of a drug. It doesn't involve the inhaling or huffing of anything. It simply is the restricting or constricting the fluctuation in blood pressure.
Now, you know about an 11-year-old boy that the parents claim was killed by that. Now, I don't know, looking at the information I have, whether in point of fact this is what happened to the boy, but the parents claim that it was from this so-called fainting game, tap out, hangman, elevator, blackout, you know, the pass out game, the choking game, that was what this kid was involved in. And they found evidence of this on his Facebook page, and apparently there were some detectives involved in the investigation of this. Have you ever heard of anyone dying from it?
I have not, but I would not be surprised. And that's why I feel that this is an example, I think, Phil, of young people. They're going to do what they're going to do. And the best thing that you can do is, rather than try to run around and restrict the behavior of these young people and try to keep them from doing things that they're going to be very interested in doing, I think that the thing to do is to give them the proper tuition in how to do it.
Now, in how to do what? In how to do this?
In how to do this choking game. And the reason why I'm bringing this up, now please follow me. We do teach sex education. Do we want children to have sex? The answer to that is no. We do teach children the purposes of a condom. Do we want them to use those if they don't have to? If, in other words, do we want them even involved in the activity that would require a condom? Well, the answer to that is no. We find ourselves teaching young people. We find ourselves teaching young people things that we'd rather not teach them. But we do it for their safety. Now, I propose the same thing happen in this choking game.
Well, this is a different thing entirely, Herb. You've got, for instance, you're talking about using sex education, understood, the condoms, understood, it's needed, it's necessary, and so on. But to teach a kid how to properly injure himself, do you understand what I'm saying?
Yes, I absolutely understand it. When you say properly injure himself, if it's done properly, yes. If it's done properly, yes, he's going to get high. But that's what he wants to...
Well, what do you mean he's going to get high? Well, if it's done properly, there's restriction of blood.
Well, I'm just looking at it from the standpoint of the kid doing it. If he does it, and he does it properly, the way that we would have him do it, the safe way to do it...
Is there a safe way of doing this?
Well, there's a way of doing it so that you're not strangling yourself. There's a way of doing it so that you're not hanging yourself from a doorknob. And I think that if you look at the tragedy of people such as Keith Carradine, well, it's not Keith Carradine, it's the gentleman, David Carradine. I was going to say John Carradine. John Carradine was their father, and I don't think that he was involved in quite anything quite so bizarre, exotic in those days. Of course, it was all cocaine, heroin, or whatever they did. I don't know if they...
Well, let's forget about John Carradine, because he's a much older man, and you're right. That wasn't even...
It probably wasn't a consideration.
No, it wasn't a consideration. So you're talking about David Carradine, and I don't know about that. We're talking about young people. So is there a way of teaching young people how to play this pass-out game or this fainting game so they don't hurt themselves?
I believe, Phil, that the way to influence the actions of young people is to protect them, first of all, is to understand they're going to do what they're going to do. So you look at a young person, you say, well, they're going to use drugs. So the best thing that I can do is to ensure that they're not buying drugs from some thief or some liar or some denizen of the gutters of America, that there is this medical marijuana and so forth. I don't know how it works.
Well, that's not for young people.
Well, I understand, but what I'm trying to say is that there must be some proper way of doing this.
By the way, our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL. We're talking to Herb Sewell about the choking game, the pass-out game. An 11-year-old boy allegedly died from it. How do we keep our kids, these little boys, from doing this? It's a game where you sort of tie something around your throat, and the kid passed out. You're saying we need to teach them.
Well, I think in schools, you teach them the way you teach sex education. We can show kids the safest way to play the choking game, to get the maximum physical high without killing themselves. If we don't, we're putting our kids in danger.
Now, what do you mean the maximum physical high, though? That's the part...
But not if at least you don't promise them, I can show you how to do this, and it'll be good, and it will be safe. And
is that really something you want to say to an 11-year-old kid?
I think we have no choice, Phil, because they're going to do it anyway. And the way to talk to these young people is to say to them, because for whatever it's worth, I was around young people for a great many years of my life. And
yes, but Herb, when you were around young people, you were committing crimes, vicious, violent crimes.
I understand.
So I don't want to know about your experiences other than this idea that you have that teaching them how to do it so they get the high out of it and still not hurt themselves. I don't know that that's possible.
But I can tell you, Phil, just like sex education, and just like teaching a young person, for instance, how to load and use a gun, because you know they're going to go find a gun somewhere and play with it, so you can teach them how to load it, how to use it, how to aim it, target, and all these things. The same thing with the choking game. You say to them, all right, I know you're going to get a towel out of the closet there, and when I leave, you're going to choke yourself to try to get high. Let me show you how to do it so that it's you get a good rush, and at the same time, we don't find you hanging from as I mentioned, the doorknob, or one of the doorknobs in the French doors.
That's bizarre. That's macabre.
Absolutely, I totally agree.
That's unbelievable. Let me teach you how to do this so at least I come home and you're alive.
Absolutely, but what else are you going to do?
Tell them that it's unsafe. Teach them that it's unsafe.
Kids don't want to be taught anything by adults because they don't trust adults. They think adults are only there to remove all of the fun and joy from their lives. So they automatically believe that adults are there for one reason only, and that is to take whatever fun they're having, whatever good times they're having, and to crush it, if you understand. It's just to crush the humor, crush the joy, and crush the laughter from their lives. That's how young people see adults. We must, simply must, turn that tide so that young people will look at an adult and say, he's there to keep me safe, and maybe he has a better idea of how I can get high or...
Well, not get high.
Well, you just don't think like a kid, you know?
All right, 877-876-PHIL. Should we teach kids how to do this choking game so that at least they know how to do it safe? That's what Herb Sewell is saying, a man who is in prison for crimes against kids. Herb Sewell spent 8 years at Atascadero. He was a child molester. And after 8 years at Atascadero, he was released, and he is now in a halfway house. And he's weighing in on this so-called choking game or fading game or tap-out game. Kids are going to do it anyway, so why not teach them so that they don't kill themselves? 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL. Your call's next for our guest, Herb Sewell. And then we have Bud Dickman and Robert Leonard at our news hour coming up on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Famous Bill Hendry.
We're with Herb Sewell, and we're talking about this choking game that some young adolescent males are playing, where they kind of tie off their throat or they tie off their windpipe, and they experience some sort of a rush. And Herb, you were in prison for child molestation. Were you involved in this kind of thing with these young people?
Well, I was. I don't want you to think this is child molestation.
Well, were you involved in this choking game?
Yes, I was. And so I saw them. I didn't know anything about it. One of them told me about it. And so I did it. And I have to tell you that it is a very trans. It is a trans. Transporting experience. What do I mean by that? These are young adolescent men who have found a way to transport their consciousness beyond the mundane by simply tying a belt or a rope or having a friend give them the Heimlich maneuver or some other way of restricting the oxygen to the brain. Now, once I learned this, and I learned it from an 11-year-old by the name of Casey, and
I don't want to know about the kids that you were with, okay? Because this is a criminal, these are criminal acts you're involved in.
I apologize. Once I learned it, what I did Well, I did it a couple of times because I wanted to get it down just to show that I knew how to do it. And I found that I liked it. I proceeded to continue doing it well into my incarceration at Atascadero. And even after I got out, it took me quite a bit of therapy and working with the doctors before I was able to stop the use of this towel game. I called it the towel, where I would restrict my oxygen and feel myself in the cavity, what I call the cavity of creation.
Are you talking about you doing this?
I'm talking about me doing it, yes. And it was very addictive, and I did do it, and I did enjoy it, and I had to go through 6 months of therapy to extract myself from the use of what I call the towel and the cavity of creation.
And what is the cavity of creation?
Well, that's essentially where you go when you take a belt or a towel and choke yourself standing in a bathroom or a garage. You are transported into the cavity of creation, which is the matrix.
And are you telling me that this has some spiritual value? Because what I'm hearing here, in other words, is you're giving me information about where 11-year-old boys go in their minds when they choke themselves in this choking game. This kid died. You understand that?
Well, I do understand that, Phil. I'm talking for myself. I don't know about 11-year-old boys. I don't think that they have the capability of interpreting the experience, the spiritual experience that they're going through.
And so you're telling me that this is a spiritual experience?
For me, it was. I don't know about an 11-year-old boy. I wouldn't vouch for them. I know that when Casey taught me that...
I don't want to hear about any kid...
I apologize.
Any kid that you were involved in, because it was criminal behavior. What I want to find out here is you have proposed that there's a way to teach kids how to do this and not hurt themselves.
Well, that's what I was getting at. I believe through the use of the pantyhose or the use of a clothesline, you can realize worlds you've never known before.
And through the use of a clothesline or pantyhose, you can realize worlds you've never known before. Do you hear what you're saying?
Well, what I'm trying to say to you is the following thing, Phil, that the children are going to do this regardless.
Well, we've heard this argument before.
Yes.
We've heard the argument before that children are going to do it regardless. And people such as myself and others will come back with, well, they're going to do it. Well, then we should not have them do it. We should stop them from doing it. We should exert some parenting and teach them not to do it.
Well, I do not concur. And while I was put in prison for child molestation, I think you at least have to give me credit for having spent time around kids.
And no, I don't give you credit for that at all. I don't think you spent any quality time around kids getting to know them or understand them. You spent time around kids committing crimes. And so the you learning the what you call the towel...
That's what I call it. But you can use the towel, you can use a fan belt... But you are transported to a level that the Bodhisattva...
Are you hearing what you're saying? In other words,
parents are very naive on these topics, Phil, and this is why I'm saying to you, when you talk about this with a parent, they will look at you with wide eyes. I have talked to parents about this. I've not let them know who I am. They don't know that they're standing in the presence of a child molester. We might be in a supermarket line somewhere, and there might be a headline there on a magazine, and I'll say something to the effect of, well, look at that. Look at that 11-year-old trying to choke himself with a fan belt, and they'll say, what are you talking about? And I'll go on and explain to them, and I'm telling you, Phil, it's almost criminally sad to see these parents, their eyes glaze over, they have no idea what's going on. They don't know what's going on in their own home after they leave and go to work.
All right, 877-876-PHIL, talking here with Herb Sewell. Here is Paul in Durham, North Carolina. Go ahead, Paul, you're on the Phil Henry Show.
Yes, well, my concern with this is we are allowing a child molester to give advice on how children should behave. And second here, by doing this whole choking game thing and teaching them how to do this, we are promoting kids on how to kill themselves and promoting child suicide.
No. We are teaching them how to do it safely from the standpoint of the cavity of creation.
And hold on for a minute here, because, Paul, I want to address your very, very important concerns about Herb. Herb, hold on as well. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. I don't want anybody thinking that we have Herb Sewell on here to give advice on how to kill themselves. We'll be back on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, The Choking Game. Should we just teach kids how to do it safely so they don't kill themselves? 877-876-PHIL, world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry.
World-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Welcome back to our show, and with us is Herb Sewell. Mr. Sewell had spent 8 years in Atascadero, a forensic hospital for the criminally insane. I have to be very, very blunt with you. After his commission and conviction of crimes against children, Mr. Sewell underwent therapy and all kinds of treatment there, and is now out and is on parole at a halfway house and joins us in this hour and other hours, as we talk about different aspects of society's approach to crime. Now, tonight we are talking about children that use this pass-out game, this choking game. And you were saying, Mr. Sewell, that they should be taught the proper way so they don't kill themselves. Now, let me get back to Paul here on the line. He's in Durham, North Carolina. And I got Paul on the line. Paul, you there?
Yeah.
Okay, sir. I wanted to, just before I get to you, Paul, I wanted to ask you, Herb, how do you expect to be taken seriously or even expect to be heard having come from the life that you come from, having come from a life in prison and the crimes you've committed?
Well, the only reason why I say that my ideas are sound is because I've approached the idea of this what I call the towel of the choke game from the standpoint of the spiritual experience. Now, I understand that 11-year-old, 12, 13-year-old boys are not going to approach it that way, but I have, and I recognize there is a spirituality. You can take a fan belt or you can take a piece of chicken wire and choke yourself and emerge in a bodhisattva state.
What has this got to do with 11-year-old kid?
Well, I'm getting to that. That it must be attractive. That so, if you teach them the proper way,
and is there a proper way?
Well, I think there's a way that you don't kill yourself, and then you don't kill yourself, and then maybe you enter at least briefly the cavity of creation.
Okay, go ahead, Paul. Your point.
Well, my point in this is that if you don't have them do it at all, then you eliminate the risk. Teaching them how to do it properly, there's really no proper way of doing it.
Yeah, that. if there is such a thing.
There is no such thing as proper way. Now, me, working as a security officer in the state of North Carolina, if I saw a parent teaching their child how to do this, I would have them put in jail and charged with child abuse. And I would actually handcuff them myself.
By the way, if you saw a parent, say, sitting in the car with their child, and they had what was at hand, and I suppose in a car, what would be at hand? A jump rope? Let's say a child's jump rope. A jump rope or licorice, whatever you can choke off the windpipe with, and you see a parent teaching this child so that the child can enter the cavity of creation.
And nobody knows what you mean by cavity of creation.
Well, a higher state of consciousness. You would have that person arrested, sir?
I sure would. You know, anytime you're teaching a child how to strangle herself, that would be something I would have them arrested for. I do not tolerate any type of child abuse. I don't tolerate any type of or anybody that has harmed a child.
You wouldn't have liked me, but you wouldn't have liked me back in the day. I'll tell you that.
All right, we already know about that, Herb.
All right. But I can tell
sir, it's not about whether I like you or don't like you, sir. It's really about the point of you're trying
to say
that it's okay for parents to teach your child.
To teach their kids. And this man is saying that even with a parent, he would arrest the parent.
But I think he's stepping over the line there, because I think if a parent is trying to teach a child the towel and is trying to make the child familiar with the towel, so that the child...
Well, Herb, I would really have to say that it's about time that you go ahead, go on back in and get some more treatment, because you really need it.
Well, I don't know that a security guard in North Carolina is qualified to make that statement. And I think that you're prejudiced against me because you're law enforcement. And
well, that goes without saying, I think. In any event, Paul, I thank you very much.
Now, wait a minute. I want this man to tell me if a parent is familiarizing his child with the towel and the consciousness of the parent, the consciousness expansion of the towel, why it is he would have that parent arrested of the crying.
Yeah, he'd have the parent arrested, obviously, because it is an abusive thing. You have yet to tell us, and we're talking here with Herb Sewell, our number 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL. Talking with Herb Sewell about this, and you've heard about kids choking themselves and getting high off of that. There's something having to do with the restriction of oxygen to the brain for brief periods of time that create an elevated consciousness or a mood change. And the idea that Mr. Sewell is on the line here, a convicted child molester, talking about how it can be responsibly taught to kids.
But Mr. Henry, if I could interrupt, you had me on the program. You had me on the program.
I have you on the program to talk about ways that we can ensure the safety of kids. I didn't know.
This is going to it is irresponsible. Irresponsible. And I want to underline those two syllables. Irresponsible. That's a three-syllable word. Irresponsible, a three-syllable word. Now, why is it a three-syllable word? Because we want to take our time. We want to luxuriate over those syllables. We want to live in that word, irresponsible. And why do I say that? Because that applies to the parents. The parents are irresponsible not to teach the kids the safe way, the cavity of creation way, the elevated consciousness of the bodhisattva way, to strangle yourself and to do this that they know they are going to do, and there's nothing that the parent can do to stop them from doing it.
And no, you can't say that. And I, you know what, I don't like you saying that because a kid's going to listen to you. Okay.
Well, you've pretty much soured my reputation among kids. And
no, I haven't, Mr. Sewell. I don't know whether you're trying to be funny or not.
No, sir, I can assure you I'm not.
All right, well, I haven't soured anything. You have, by your own actions, by your own life, by the crimes you committed.
I understand that.
You soured whatever attitude anybody will have towards you, be they children or adults. Okay, so what you bring to this show tonight is an expertise, perhaps, in how to keep children safe. And that we're willing to hear. But I'm asking you to give me background and back up what you're saying, how it is teaching a kid how to choke himself is going to keep him safe.
I personally think that the kids are going to do it anyway. And this is something, Phil, if I leave you with anything here tonight, I leave you with this. No matter what it is you don't want a child to do, they're going to try to do it anyway. It is in the nature of a child. It doesn't matter what it is. Is it drug use? Is it the towel? Is it the towel and the cavity of creation? Is it
what is with the towel and the cavity of creation?
That's simply my term for it.
Let's call it what it is, the choking game, okay?
I really resent calling it the choking game because there's so much more. When you say choking game, you're thinking more of you want to put the word chicken in there. You know what I'm saying?
And no, I don't know what you're saying.
But it sounds juvenile to call it the choking game.
Well, because it is juvenile, dangerously juvenile.
All right, well, but I call it towel. And no matter what it is, whether it's towel, whether it's chicken, choke, you know, whether it is any of these things, you and I both know children are going to try to do them. It could be cold-blooded murder. I'm telling you, Phil, I've been around some kids. You don't want me to talk about it because I committed, you know, child molestation. But the kids I was around, and yes, I apologize for saying this, yes, did molest, talked about committing homicide, they talked about robbing banks, they talked about...
No, you're going to try to say all of these things to make those kids look bad as if they deserved what you did. You understand?
No, I'm not. No, not the ones. No, not those ones. These are different kids.
Different kids?
Yeah, I never laid a hand on these kids. They talked about serial murder, committing bank robbery. They talked about explosives. They talked about white-collar crime, wire transfers, internet transfers, internet crime. I was around some 9-year-olds that would curl your hair. You have to understand. And so if a child is going to get online and commit internet fraud, Would you rather that they do it in a way where they'll get caught? Or would you rather...
I would rather they not do it at all.
But it's not going to happen. You're living in a dreamland, and you, like so many of these parents, you are so naive. I tell you, you are so naive to think they won't do it, Phil. You almost, I don't know whether to cry or to laugh.
If you put a kid online and you're telling me that a kid is going to commit internet fraud or they're going to hack a computer, you might as well teach them how to do it well.
You might as well, because they're going to do it anyway. And the parents think like you. Oh, I'll teach little Billy, I'll teach little Susie not to do this. Well, they're going to do it anyway. And the sooner you teach them how to do it in a way that they can at least spend their lives in freedom and not in a federal prison, the better they'll be. And the better off you'll be, because you won't be driving to places like Leavenworth or Supermax or wherever it is you have to go with a basket of sandwiches and fruit that you know that poor child will have to share with other inmates within 5 minutes of you leaving. So don't kid yourselves, Mr. and Mrs. America. If your child is going to perform internet fraud, wire fraud, hacking computers, getting into a Department of Defense computer, for instance, State Farm computer, or WikiLeaks, if you wish, you might as well teach them how to do it in a way that they won't get caught. Otherwise, you are driving for hours to Supermax with your little basket of goodies that young person will not even see, because every career criminal on his tier will have already torn into it. Well, what do you mean? You see, Phil, I know a little bit about being inside, and believe me, friend, teachers share responsibility. You should also teach this.
All right, Herb, well, I...
thank you for being on the show.
Yeah, thank you for being on the show.
You're welcome. Now I'm going to go back into my hole, which is where they allow me. Now that I'm on parole, I'll go into my hole, and I'll make sure that I don't hurt anybody, and I'll never be on your show again.
Did he hang up?
Yeah, he did.
All right, Herb Sewell here on a world-famous Phil Hendry show. So make sure that you teach your kids properly how to commit, internet hacking. Otherwise, they go to Supermax, and the basket of goodies that you drive hours to bring them will be torn apart by the career criminals on their tier. Wow.
You sound like you know what he's talking about.
877-876-PHIL. We'll be back here on a world-famous Phil Hendry show. The News Hour with Bud and Robert coming up. And tomorrow night, it's the Christmas Carol with Phil Hendry.
Phil Hendry. Phil Hendry.
Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. We do have our news hour next hour with Robert Leonard and Bud Dickman and Margaret Gray joining us. Margaret, in New York, they had a billboard that was put up by atheists, and it was, I guess it was something along the lines of don't buy into the myth.
Yes, it was a billboard put up by the American Atheists out of Wisconsin, and I think it was a well-intentioned effort to tell people that there are other ways of looking at this time of year, and as an atheist, and I have been an atheist for a great many years, even though I don't bear any grudge against the people who are religiously inclined, I am a pagan, and I have subscribed to Wiccan beliefs.
And well, you just called yourself an atheist.
If I could finish what I'm saying, I'd very much appreciate it.
No, I can't. Forgive me.
If I could finish what I'm saying, I'd very much appreciate it.
I understand that, Margaret, but I had a...
If I could finish what I got, Almighty...
Let her say what you want.
What do you want?
Margaret, I have the right to ask a question, okay?
What do you want? I had something that I wanted to do for me and for people in the audience. What do you want?
I am simply saying that I believe, if I'm not mistaken, there's a difference between an atheist and a pagan. An atheist is someone that doesn't believe in a deity. Pagans do believe in a deity. They may believe in a multitude of deities.
ahead.
Okay, are you done?
I'm done asking the question.
All right, what I did, Phil, is I stopped down and I allowed you to say what you wanted to say. Now, I'd like to continue with what I'm saying, if it's all right with you.
So you're not going to answer my question?
If it's all right with you.
No, it's not all right with me.
Well, wait.
I guess you have to do what you want.
It's not all right with you, is that right?
No, it's not all right with me.
What do you want, then? What can I do for you? What can I do? To quote the great Orson Welles, Phil, what can I do in the depths of your ignorance? What can I do?
Well, in the depths of my ignorance, Margaret, would you please explain to me the comment that you call yourself an atheist and you're a pagan?
Is that what you want me to do to explain that?
Yes, that's what I'd like you to do.
Because we have taken up an entire 3 minutes of a period of your program that I was told by David Hall, by Butt Dickman, and by your operational branch, Robert Leonard, would be mine and mine alone to put forward something to your audience that I thought would be of benefit. But I'm not allowed to do that. I have to undergo your interrogation because you think that it's funny or somehow you get...
I don't think it's funny at all. I think it's a very good question. Would you tell me that that's not a good question? When you call yourself an atheist and you call yourself a pagan...
I am an atheist. As such, I am a pagan. I believe in Wicca and the Wiccan religion. The Wicca people, or the Wiccan people, believe in Wicca. They believe in the Wicca way. I'm not completely familiar with it, but I do know it is non-Christian. And as such, is a pagan or atheist belief. Now, does that answer your question? God Almighty.
You can't beat this.
Is that Frank?
Yes, it is Frank.
Could I speak to him?
No, you may not speak to him.
What if you want?
Never mind. Does that answer your question?
No, it does not.
Oh, my God.
It doesn't answer the... Margaret, when you say that you are a pagan and you believe in Wicca and that makes you an atheist, I don't understand that. Atheists don't believe in a deity.
I am an atheist because I reject the Christian faith. Do you understand? And so do pagans. And so therefore, we're what?
You're a pagan.
I'm an atheist, too.
Atheist, too, yeah.
No, you're not an atheist, too. That's wrong. Okay?
Are you telling me, my God, the gall of this man. You know, Phil, you do a talk show. You're not William F. Buckley. You're not David Susskind. You're not sitting there. You're not even on The View. You do a talk show late at night. You know, Phil, I love you. I really do. But you're a late-night talk show host, and it's about as low on the ladder as you can get in the entertainment field. You sit there night after night.
Thank you very much for that.
Oh, don't. Yeah, look at this. He's feeling hurt. You want us to all feel sorry for you?
No, that's okay, but I've been belittled, and the question I asked is a very good question.
And what was your question?
Oh, did we forget?
Mike, you watch your tone with me.
All right, fine. You're a pagan, you're a Wiccan. You're an atheist. Those things don't go together. Atheists don't believe in God. Pagans and Wiccans do. They believe in spirits. They believe in a spirit world. They believe in gods or godheads, whatever you want to say.
I am not familiar with Godhead, and I don't know if that's something that you and Bud Dickman decided to put into this hour to be vile and crude. But
no, I did not. It's a term used in the pagan religions, Godhead. It is a kind of it's a deity.
You know what? I think you're lying. I love you, Phil, but I think you're lying, and I think you put it together with that Dickman.
All right.
No, I didn't put anything together. Get out of here, Bud. So I would say that what you believe is, in other words, anyone that rejects Christianity is an atheist.
Absolutely.
And so the current school of atheist is not so much someone that doesn't believe in God. They want to tear down Christianity.
Well, I think that you're... goes without saying, Phil.
Okay. So I think what you're saying, essentially, is that the current school of atheists is a sort of a hypocritical school.
Watch what you're saying.
No, it's a very hypocritical school where they don't really care about pagan or Native American or any other religious system. It's just that they want to rip the Judeo-Christian ethic. So you're not really an atheist. You just don't like the Judeo-Christian system of belief. Belief.
Belief. Nice going there, Don DeLuise. Belief. Did you hear him? Yeah, he lisped. Did you hear what you said, Phil?
Yes, I misspoke. Are you going to make that an issue?
No, I won't make that an issue, Phil. I won't make that an issue. Oh, my God. Did you hear him? You went belief.
I know what I said. Do you want to address what I'm saying?
Well, I'd like to know what it was you said. You said a Judeo-Christian system, or I should say, system of belief. Wow.
Hey, honey. Met your dress.
Yeah, hey, Phil. Phil, the trolley car's leaving for Finocchio's in 5 minutes.
Get rid of them.
Yeah.
We'll be back here in the world-famous... What a child. We'll be back in the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Our number 877-876-PHIL. Coming up, Robert Leonard and Bud Dickman in our news hour. And I think Gary Dupree, that's me.
Yeah, it's great.
Uh-huh.
Phil Henry.